All right, as you remember, we were preaching this morning on how to recognize a person of faith. And how to recognize if you are a person of faith. And folks, we need to be people of faith. Amen. Remember again, without faith it is impossible to please God. It's just not difficult. It's impossible to please God. So we have to be people of faith. And yes, we are all given, and I meant to mention this morning, so this is a good place to interject this. We have all been given the measure of faith. You know what that means? That means that each and every one of us started with the same faith that Paul did, or Peter did, or John did, or Jesus did. And we talked about that some this morning, about we can have the same faith that he had. But we've been given the measure of faith. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to grow in our faith? Are we going to stagnate in our faith? I personally would like to be known as one of the people in the Hall of Fame of faith people. And the more that I'm around, the more I'm convinced that God wants to do a lot more in our churches and in us individually, but he can't because of the unbelief. And remember, when Jesus was here on earth, he went to Nazareth. And it said that he could not do many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. What is unbelief? A lack of faith. So if we want God to do mighty works in our presence, we need to be people of strong faith. And if you'll remember, we talked about three of the characteristics of people that have faith, strong faith this morning. Characteristic number one is they always go to the Word. Instead of finding out what the world thinks about it, they find out what the Word says about it. You know, it doesn't matter what Mommy or Aunt Susie or Dr. Phil or the guys at work or anybody else says. It matters what God's Word says. Amen. The second characteristic that we looked at, and I kind of got amused this morning when I said this, because I could tell this struck home with a lot of people. They were like, never thought about that. But the second characteristic is that a person of faith does not panic. Does not panic. That means in the worst of situations, we remain calm. We remain cool. We remain collected. Because we realize that any situation, any circumstances that we come up against is not even close to being bigger than our God is. And so we just remain very, very calm and we don't panic. And then the third thing we looked at this morning is that the person of faith does not fear or does not worry. And again, we talked about Jairus. I always have trouble with his name. Jairus, when Jesus was going to heal his daughter, remember Jesus was hindered because of the lady that wanted to be healed. And Jesus healed her, and then the servants came and said, well, don't even bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Folks, it doesn't get any worse than dead, does it? When you're wanting somebody to be healed, it doesn't get any worse than that. But Jesus looked at him and said, do not be afraid, only believe. Guess what Jesus wants to say to a lot of us today? Do not be afraid, only believe. You know, that goes right along with characteristic number four. So let's go ahead and move right on into that. But I want us to go into it with that mind frame of do not be afraid, only believe. And characteristic number four is that a person of faith has faith and patience. Or if we need anything in this day and age, it's patience, isn't it? We get everything so microwaved in our society that if we can't get it immediately, it's a tragedy. It's just unheard of. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I used to have a friend that was a manager at McDonald's, and they are required to get your order to you in 60 seconds or less, or they pay penalties on them. I'm like, 60 seconds? And we used to go sit down and order a hamburger, and it might be 10, 15, 20 minutes before you got the hamburger. So we don't know a whole lot about patience in our day and age, but to be a person of faith, we have to have patience. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So we're supposed to be followers of them who have faith and patience. And if we truly do have faith, then we will have patience. Even if it's a long, drawn-out ordeal, we still have patience. And the reason we will is because we are trusting in the one and only true Almighty God, and we're going on His time frame and not our time frame. Again, we want it now, and believe it or not, that's really not even a new concept. Anybody here ever heard of a guy by the name of Abraham? Sure you have, right? Well, Abraham learned this story, or this concept, the hard way. Remember, God came up to Abraham in his old age and said, "You and Sarah are going to have a son, and that son is going to make you the father of many nations." Well, time kept going on, and time kept going on, and time kept going on, and Abraham looked around, and there is no promised son, and Sarah's not getting any younger, and he's not getting any younger, and they couldn't even conceive back in their early days of life. And Abraham thinking, you know, okay, God promised me a son, but it's just not happening. We have to help God. Well, folks, he had Ishmael, and we are still changing that boy's dirty diapers to this day. I really wish Abraham had showed a little more patience at that point in time. But we also have to learn to have patience, because not waiting on God always has negative consequences. Anytime God's word promises us something and we try to push that promise, it's not going to work out for our good. It's not going to work out for our benefit, because we are trying to take over the situation that's in God's hands, and we need to let Him take care of it. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage." In other words, have patience. Have a great attitude about this. "And He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." We need to learn how to wait on God. And I'm just as impatient as anybody. I want something done. I want it done now. Well, God doesn't always work on our time frame, does He? In fact, very seldom does He work on our time frame. Also in Proverbs 20:22, it says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil." And I have told you guys 100 times that if God would let me, I would like to get revenge on a lot of people. That's my nature. But He says, to say not, "I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee." Folks, I've seen it happen time and time and time again. A situation that I would like to step into and give somebody a piece of my mind and straighten them out, fortunately I don't, because God speaks to my heart. And God turns it around and makes it a whole lot better than it would have ever been if I had tried to get in there and push the issue. Now, let me say this about being patient. If you are impatient, or not impatient, impatient, if you have patience, you're going to only speak words of faith. You're not going to say things like, "Well, God, what's taking you so long?" That's not a statement of faith. You're not going to say things like, "You know, I just don't know what we're going to do." Again, that's not a statement of faith. That's not showing patience. We have to affirm the promises that God has given us in His Word. When you think you can't take it anymore, let's say it's a financial situation, you can go to the Lord and you can say, "Okay, God, in Your Word." Remember what the very first one, you always go to the Word. You can say, "God, in Your Word, You said that if I will seek You first, and Your kingdom first, and Your righteousness first, then You will meet all of my needs. You also said over Malachi that if I will be a tither and a giver, that You will give back to me beyond what I can handle. You've also said over in Matthew 6:33 that if I seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first, then all these things shall be added unto me. Father, I don't see it happening, but I believe you're working on it even right now. That's a statement of faith. But folks, we have to intentionally make that statement, because that's not going to naturally come out of our mouths. If the natural man gets a hold of it, it's going to be a statement of doubt. So we have to put a guard on our mouth and make sure that we speak words that reaffirm the promises of God's Word, and that we display that faith and that patience, because that is a very important aspect of a person of faith. And there's going to be times in your life you want to get impatient. You know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can you imagine when they were getting ready to go into that fiery furnace, that they wanted to get a little bit impatient and they wanted God to rescue them before they went? I know as a human being they were not looking forward to that. Everybody here in one way or another has burnt themselves at one time. You see a big fiery furnace over there, you don't want to even get close to it. Folks, there's nothing that says that they ever resisted. In fact, if you will read the story, the men, the guards that were taking them into the furnace perished because of the fire. And that tells me that the Hebrews just kept on walking right down into the fire. That is faith, and that is patience, and that is relying on God to bring them out. The fifth characteristic, and this is one where I think that we as Christians really struggle, and so I'm going to spend some time on this one. A person of faith keeps their eyes on God and not the problem. Sometimes we have some big problems. We have folks in this church that have problems. Family problems, financial problems, work problems. We've got all sorts of problems. But we have to learn to keep our eyes on God and not the problem. Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? Their prison wasn't like ours. Their prison wasn't a place that people wanted to go back to. It didn't have all the comforts of home. It was literally a dungeon. And here they were. They had been beaten. Their hands and their feet were in stocks. And yet at midnight, the darkest part of the day, the darkest part of the night, they're not sitting there having a pity party. They're praising God out loud. What are they doing? They're keeping their eyes on God and not on the problem. Now, I can promise you that was not easy for them, but we have no record whatsoever that they ever said anything negative about their circumstances or their situation. And I believe that is because they realized that God was greater than any problem that they had. They knew that He could deliver them, and so they were magnifying Him, and they were keeping their eyes on Him. And of course we know what happened. God delivered them. I challenge you to go into the Bible anywhere. When somebody is keeping their eyes on God and putting their faith in God, that God did not hear their prayers and did not deliver them. He always did. Always. Another example I want us to look at. Remember when Peter was in the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter said, "If it's you, bid me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and started to sink immediately, didn't he? No, he didn't. Boy, Sister Mildred just gave me a look then. Woo! She's like, "That ain't right." Well, he didn't start to sink, did he? He started doing the impossible. He started literally walking on the water. It was not until he took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on the boisterous sea all around him that he started to sink. Folks, until he took his eyes off of Jesus, or let's put it this way, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was overcoming the impossible. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, the things around him started to overcome and overtake him. So it is imperative that we keep our eyes on Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly, very plainly, that with God, all things are possible to those who believe. Or who are those? The people that believe are people of faith. So if you are a person of faith, you can literally do the impossible. And I don't know about you, but I think God is hungry, and I think God is looking for people that's willing to do the impossible. And of course, we understand it's all through His power. But we have to keep our eyes upon Him. I said this is an important one. Let me give you one more example. Joshua and Caleb. Just before the nation of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land. And let's think about that for a second. God had already said, I am giving you this land. They weren't going in speculating. It wasn't a mission trip to go in and see if they could take the land. God said, I am giving you this land. Go in and spy it out and then come back. They weren't supposed to be speculating. Folks, we are not supposed to be speculating. We are supposed to be going in and taking our promised land, which is the abundant life that God promised us. But the 12 spies went in, and they came back. When we know 10 of them said, we are not able. Well, why did they think they were not able? They were looking at the enemy instead of looking at what God had promised. Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. God has already given us this land. We can do this with God's help. Well, God was so dissatisfied with the other 10 spies, in fact, with the entire nation of Israel at that time, because of their unbelief, He made them wander in the wilderness until they died. They never got to experience the promised land. I can't help but wonder, what are we missing out on? What are we missing out on because we are not focused on God and His Word and His promises? Because we are not keeping our eyes on Him. Now, Joshua and Caleb, they kept their eyes on God and they magnified Him. The rest of the nation of Israel focused their eyes on the enemy, the dire situation and the challenges, and magnified them. And folks, each got what they kept their eyes on and what they magnified. That is where I think we as Christians really fall short. Yes, we are going to have problems. Yes, we are going to have challenges. Yes, things are going to come up. Storms are going to come up in our life. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus and magnify Him if we ever expect to have a victory, because if we are magnifying the problem, then that's what we're going to get. But if we're magnifying the Lord and standing on His promises, then that's what we're going to get, because that is what people of faith do. And yes, your giants may be big, and they may be overwhelming, but I can promise you, in God's eyes, they're not big at all. If you remember, and it was several years ago, I was preaching on that God can do anything. And I made a statement that is one of those that I had never heard, never thought about it, never contemplated it. But while I was preaching, God just gave it to me. And that statement is that God has never broke a sweat to solve somebody's problems. And by that I mean to Him, they're easy. They're easy. But He has to have people of faith to work with. When you're in a problem and a challenge, You need to realize that God is your only hope. And that focusing on the problem only magnifies the problem. Now let me tell you some ways that I find it very helpful to magnify God and then to focus on God. And again, you've got to do this intentionally. It's not just going to happen. If you sit down and just let your mind wander, it's going to wander to the fact that the checkbook says zero balance. It's going to wander to the fact that your kids have gotten in trouble again. It's going to wander to the fact that the cars broke down one more time. So we've got to do something to change that. The Bible tells us to take every single thought captive. Well, four ways that I like to do that. Number one is to give God praise. And if you can do that out loud, do it out loud. If you're in your car and nobody else is around, just start praising God for all that He is, all that He's done, all of His goodness, all of His grace, all of His mercy. If you need help, go to the book of Psalms. It's full of things to praise God for. Psalms 136 gives you a whole chapter of things to praise God for. But you need to be enthusiastic and passionate about your praise for God. That will magnify Him, and that will bring Him glory. And in that praise, one other thing you can do is sing unto the Lord. Sing songs that uplift God. Sing songs that magnify Him and bring Him glory and bring Him honor. And I promise you, when you're singing songs about God, your mind cannot wander back to the problem, especially if you are singing out loud. And you may be saying, well, Brother Greg, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. God never asked you to carry a tune in a bucket. He just said sing. Yes, some people have a lot better voice than others. God just said sing. And again, especially if you're by yourself, or if you're in your house and your spouse doesn't care that you have a horrible voice, still sing. Because this is about winning the war. We are in a battle, and we have to learn how to keep our eyes on God. And another way that we can keep our eyes and our focus on God is listen to preaching that exhorts the almightiness or the greatness of God. And I worded that very carefully. There's some preaching out there that when you're having problems may not be the best preaching that you need right then. If somebody's preaching on the problems of the world, you don't need to listen to that at that moment. When you're in a challenge, you need to have your spirit built up by preaching that exhorts the greatness of God. So make sure that you do that. And another great way to keep your eyes focused on God is hang around the right people. Don't hang around people that want to talk about the problems with you. And yes, we do need to talk about the problems. And I understand that we have to sometimes lay it out to get clarity. But I'm talking about if you're with somebody and all they want to do is keep going through the problems and keep going through the problems and keep going through it. Once you've laid it out, it's laid out. That's the problem. Here's the solution. So let's move over here. We've discussed the problem. Now hang around people that will help you with the solution. And that solution is keeping your eyes on God. And that's a struggle. That is a struggle. But folks, we absolutely have to find a way to do that. And I've shared with you some ways there. There's definitely other ways, but we have to do that. Then characteristic number 6. A person of faith prays in faith. Amazingly, most Christians do not know how to pray in faith. Most Christians do not know how to pray in faith. I've heard a lot of people pray in my life. I've heard very few that know how to pray in faith. And of course, I'm going to go into details on what that means. But I want you to stop and think for a second. If somebody asked me to write, talking about you, if somebody asked you to write an essay on what it means to pray in faith, could you write it? See, if I ask you if you know how to pray in faith and you say yes, well, that's a real easy answer. But if you really know how to pray in faith, then you would be able to sit down and write out an essay. You'd be able to sit down and write 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 pages on what it really means to pray in faith. We're going to go over a few things that it means to pray in faith, but folks, we have to learn how to pray in faith, because the Bible talks a lot about the prayer of faith. It talks about people that learn how to pray in faith, and that they're strong in their faith, and that they stand in faith, and that they come before the throne of God with boldness. You can't come before the throne of God unless you are strong in faith and be bold about it. So it's very important that we learn how to pray in faith. I'm going to give you the most important thing to know about praying in faith in this statement. And guess what? Everything we've talked about today, it all ties together. All 6 of these are very interwoven one with another. The most important thing you need to know about praying in faith is to pray according to what God's Word says about your situation. Now, how are you going to know how to pray about what God's Word says about your situation if you don't know what God's Word says about your situation? See how that goes back to number 1? The person of faith will always go to the Word first, and the Word is their first and their final authority. It's important. And for us, we have to learn to pray according to what God's Word says. Now, I'm going to give you a very simple, a very elementary example. But this will work in any situation whatsoever. But let's say that you're praying for Uncle Henry to be saved. Anybody here got an Uncle Henry? I just picked out Henry hoping nobody else had that name. Okay, we're in good shape. Well, I'm going to give you two prayers. Prayer number 8. You go to God and you say, God, if it be your will, please save Uncle Henry. There's nothing in that prayer of faith. But prayer B is a different prayer. We could go to God and say, God, your word says that it is your will that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Your word also says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they shall have eternal life. Father, I'm asking you to bring Uncle Henry to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Send someone who can share the love of Jesus and the plan of salvation with him, and let your Spirit so work in him that Uncle Henry will call on the name of Jesus and be saved. See the difference? That first one is just, it's a whim. It's a wish. It's a desire. It's not even a prayer. But folks, we are so guilty of that. And I want you to listen to your prayers. And I don't hear a lot of this here at Center Point, but I do hear some of it. Anytime you say, if it be your will, when we're praying, that's almost a dangerous prayer. For the simple reason, we can go to God's Word and find out His will. Just like on somebody being saved, we know it's God's will that no one should perish. So we don't have to pray, if it be thy will. We need to find out what God's Word says, and then when we pray, we need to stand on that Word and not budge. Going back to Uncle Henry, we know it's God's will for Uncle Henry to be saved. We have prayed in faith. We need to go to the Word, and after that, after we've prayed, we can go back to God and say, God, I know I prayed according to your word and faith. I thank you that you're working on Uncle Henry. I thank you that you're sending people according to my prayer to Uncle Henry. And I thank you that he is going to be saved. Satan has a hard time dealing with that kind of prayer, doesn't he? We need to be rock solid and steadfast in our prayers. And when we find out what the Word of God says, we need to stand on that and not budge regardless. Let's say you're praying for Uncle Henry. And the next thing you know, Uncle Henry gets arrested for being a child molester, a drunk, and a drug pusher. Well, God, I thought you was working on Uncle Henry. That's not a statement of faith. Folks, if you're praying for Uncle Henry, you've got to go back to the Word of God and say, God, I am not looking at the circumstances. I'm not looking at what's going on in Uncle Henry's life. I'm looking at my prayer based upon your Word, and I believe you're dealing with Uncle Henry. And I thank you that he is going to be saved. See, again, we get our eyes on the circumstances and the situation and off of God, and we have to be so careful of that and stay true to God's Word and God's promises. I mentioned earlier that the Bible has a lot to say about the prayer of faith. Well, let me give you a definition that God shared with me earlier this week on what the prayer of faith is. The prayer of faith is a prayer that you can pray with absolute assurance that God will answer your prayer because you have prayed according to His Word. And God cannot lie. I want to reread that. The prayer of faith is a prayer that you pray with absolute assurance that God will answer your prayer because you have prayed according to His Word. And God cannot lie. And you can go over to 1 John 5, I believe it's 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that whatsoever we ask, if we believe, then we'll receive. That's the prayer of faith. When we base it on God's Word. There's so many other things we could talk about. Like I said, that's just six simple things. God has shared with me many, many, many more things this week. But folks, we've got enough that we need to look at ourselves. This is not one of those things that you look at your spouse or your neighbor or anybody else in the church. We need to ask ourselves, how do I match up to what the Bible says about a person of faith? Can I say that I am a person of faith? And if we can't, we need to make some changes. And yes, it is a growing process. So, I mean, don't get discouraged if you decide today that you want to be a person of great faith and a person that's strong in the faith, and you're not there tomorrow. Tomorrow will just be one step closer to it than you were today, and the next day one step closer to it, and one step closer, and one step closer. You're not going to get there overnight, but folks, God needs people that are strong in faith. If we want to live an overcoming life and a victorious life, then we have to learn to live by faith. See, the fact is, God can't do anything in our lives without faith. We can't be saved without faith. We can't be healed without faith. We can't be an overcomer in life without faith. We can't be spiritually strong in the Lord without faith. We can't be successful in the spiritual world, talking about winning people to the Lord and building a church, without faith. Every single thing that we do for God has to be by faith. And this subject is so important. And God is no respecter of person. If you're willing to make the decision and put in the effort that it takes to be a person of strong faith, then you can do that. You may have to change some things. You may have to turn off the TV and open up the Bible. If you don't already have a designated prayer time, you need to set a designated prayer time. You have to put a plan together to grow in faith. But like we were talking about this morning, and I appreciate the songs that Bill picked out tonight, there are going to be storms in your life. If you're not in one now, hang on. One's coming. You need to be ready before the storm gets there. And the only way you can really, truly be ready is to be strong in your faith. And I pray that you will decide to do whatever it takes to become a person of faith. And folks, it's really not that hard. Everybody here can read. If you don't have time to read, you can get the Bible on CD anymore. Everybody here can pray. Everybody here can meditate upon the things of God. Everybody here can do the things that it takes to grow in our faith. The hardest part about being a person of faith is just making the decision to do so. And I pray that you'll make that decision. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I thank you that in your words you've given us numerous examples of what you've done in the lives of people that were people of faith. And they were just ordinary people. But they were people that made a decision to be strong in faith. And you used them in the most extraordinary ways. And Father, I just pray tonight that you would just speak to the hearts of the people and help each and every one of us, including myself, to make a commitment to be stronger in faith each and every day of our lives. And Father, help us to understand that without faith it is impossible to please you. But when we believe that you are God and that you are Jehovah, when we put our faith and our trust in you, then the Word tells us very simply and very plainly that all things are possible to those that believe. And God, I just pray that you take our faith and that you would expand it and that you would grow it, even to the point that our faith gets to the point of absolute trust in you. Just like the little girl we read about this morning that was on the plane that was in a lot of turmoil because of the weather. And yet she remained very calm because her trust was in her daddy, who was the pilot, and she knew he was going to take her home. Or help us to grow our faith, Father, to the point that we have absolute trust in you. And that we believe you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.